Well, good morning. Normally, I start with a pretty unoriginal prayer that talks about lips and minds and meditative thoughts, but as I look out and I see all of you, the only words that can come to my mouth is, wow. And the only prayer I can really offer up for all of us is, God is good. Thanks be to God. Amen? All right, let's get rolling. So maybe some of you are asking this question because you don't know me, but what are you doing here? It wasn't worded as harshly, but essentially it was the first question I was asked in the basement of St. John's United Church of Christ in Columbus, Ohio. I was there attending a meeting to discuss faith-rooted community organizing concerning the topic of refugee resettlement and the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which we all lovingly call ICE. I and a few of my fellow seminarians were there to gather information about what we could do back in Delaware, Ohio, which is a smaller college town about 20 minutes north, to help create policies that would help shelter refugees and immigrants alike. I had never been to this church before, and much like my dad usually does, I was really hoping I could just sit in the back row, be anonymous, and then leave without shaking a hand. But that's near impossible when there's only 15 of you and they make you sit in a circle. So, wasn't getting out of this one. So, now I could have given a simple answer and a pretty straightforward one too, like the one I just gave you. I'm from a local UM seminary and we're looking to see where we can help. That's actually 16 words because I counted and it's pretty darn simple to say. But that's not what happened. Not even close. I don't know why, but the question on this night in this basement hit me quite differently. I started thinking back on the moments that led me to that moment in the basement of that church. I really looked at myself and I asked, you know, what are you doing here? In our scripture today, Jesus is coming home. Jesus had just finished his time of testing in the wilderness and he's been teaching in synagogues in the local areas. And he's finally, the word's getting out that, you know what, this Jesus guy's got some cool things to say. Why don't we have him over? So the narrative begins on verse 16 in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, if you want to turn to it, but you don't have to. No pressure, but I'm watching. When Jesus gets the invitation to come home, so the day comes and the synagogue is packed because everyone, the rumor has it that Jesus brings the word. And he stands up in Isaiah, and he reads this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he puts the scroll back and he sits down and says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is it. Now this is kind of where Jesus crossed the line. You know, people are starting to scratch their heads. Hold on, wait a minute. You know, they're all looking really confused. Isn't this the carpenter's boy? This is Joseph's son, right? He makes sheds and whatnot. Now he's coming here, he's going to tell me when scripture is being fulfilled. That's really interesting. This guy isn't the Messiah. But to be fair to these people, Jesus is claiming to be anointed by the Spirit of God. This would literally, by definition, make him the Messiah. However, Jesus and the congregation of Nazareth have very different concepts about what exactly the Messiah was and what he would do. Every conception revolved around the restoration of Israel as a nation. Let's not get that out of the confused. However, the most popular conception, actually, is that it would be a military revolution that Jesus would lead, or a character like Jesus, the Messiah. Right? He would come in on a white horse, he would expel the Roman invaders, and he would restore Israel to its former glory under King David. However, when we actually look at what Jesus has to say about what he's supposed to do, he never talks about restoring a political kingdom of Israel. What he does talk about, though, is the kingdom of God. Jesus tells lessons in the form of stories. We call them parables. And he'll start and he'll say things like, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's really small. But when it grows, it becomes the largest bush, and birds of all kinds, they make homes in it. These stories frequently set Jesus in opposition with the religious establishment as well. He tells another one, "The kingdom of God is like an expensive vineyard in which the owner hires attendants to make sure it's being taken care of. But the attendants have different plans. They use the land for their own benefit, and when the owner would send a representative, they would beat him. Finally, the owner said, 'Enough of this. This is crazy, right? People are taking control of my vineyard. I'm going to send my son. Maybe they'll respect him more than they respect these representatives.' But the attendants see an opportunity, and they kill the son, hoping they will inherit the vineyard for themselves." In this story, Jesus is directly criticizing the religious establishment while making more messianic claims about himself. Now, there's a phrase he also tells when he tells these parables, and that's really what I want to focus on today. And this goes back all the way to the Old Testament prophets, "For those with eyes to see and with ears to hear." Now, I'm sure Jesus realized that the crowds gathering had eyes, and I'm also pretty sure that he was well aware that they had ears, you know, basic anatomy. However, Jesus is challenging his students in the crowds to think about how they see and how they hear the world. The kingdom of God starts out small with maybe one or two people, but it grows and it grows until all people are welcome and can make a home here if only you were really listening and if only you could really see what was right in front of you. The kingdom of God is like a seed that the sower casts out in the field. If your heart is closed and hardened, it will not grow within you, but if you leave your heart open and you're open to the possibilities and you can see what's in front of you, it will grow and you will be transformed and be made new again. But that is only if you can hear what I'm saying, and that is only if you can see what is right in front of you. Jesus is essentially telling people that the world is like the Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz, do we know the Wizard of Oz? Am I not making, I know it's usually too old for me, but I really liked it, right? But, so you can go through life seeing everything in black and white and everything can be perfectly fine. You know, Monday rolls into Tuesday, rolls into Wednesday, perfectly fine. Life's good. But if you can change your perspective just a little bit, you can see everything in full color and you'll be surprised about what else is there too. Jesus is challenging people to see the world as so much more than it currently is. And this is the message that gets him killed. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Jesus wasn't put on a cross because he wore a Free Hugs t-shirt, you know. That doesn't get anybody killed. Being kind or nice doesn't get anyone hurt. It's when you say things that upset the establishment to some regard. He's telling his believers, if only you could open your eyes and your ears, you would see that these systems are not helping the poor. You would see they're not giving freedom to prisoners. They don't give sight to the blind. They're not setting any of the oppressed people free. Jesus' message of the kingdom of God is an open critique of the systems in our world that marginalize and oppress different demographics within our society. The kingdom of God is not simply the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. It is a theopolitical reality, meaning there's God and there's politics involved, in which people are treated with the love entitled to them by God. The kingdom of God is a reality in which food is given to the hungry, water is given to the thirsty, shelter to the homeless, asylum to the refugee, a family to the orphan. Does any of this sound like it's worth living, people? Are you with me now? The kingdom of God is right here, and it's within our grasp. And all we have to do is open our ears and our eyes, and all we need to do is see that it is here and now, and all we have to do is reach out, touch it. And I know that's hard to do. Once you start seeing the world in technicolor, you'll be challenged by those who prefer it in black and white. Our world is full of systems that profit on the world staying just as it is. People will say to you, aren't you the carpenter's son? Doesn't your mom cut hair down the road? Who are you telling me how to live my life? Who are you to tell me how it's supposed to be? And what are you doing here? The only way I can think to really answer that question, or any of those questions, and the advice I can give to you, my friends, is the same answer I gave at St. John's down in Columbus I'm here because my God compels me to be here. He compels me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind. He calls me to set the prisoner free, and he calls me to proclaim the kingdom of God. And I'm going to invite the band up because I'm going to conclude, because I don't usually go all that long. Oh, yeah, see, they're still sitting. Come on, it's all good. But as I thought about this, sitting in front of my computer, I was reminded of a song. It's Benjamin Gibbard's Something's Rattlin'. And I'm going to recite. I won't sing because I'm not Lori, but I will recite a line to you, if I may. It goes, something, it's always summer in this southern state. It is a comfortable life in a beautiful place. But something's rattling somewhere inside, and it feels like it's broken, but in a place I cannot find. And it only gets louder with time. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is here. The invitation of Christ is rattling in the bones of every one of us. Will you open your eyes to see the world as it should be? Will you open your ears to hear the call of God? Because it will only get louder with time. Grace and peace be with you.